This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here. Let's dial it up for a game day Monday edition of One Bills
there
Live.
There it is, baby. Look at all the people on MSG are seeing it. The field is set up for a game. Look at it.
Yeah, and we can talk about the field in a second, because there was a detail that was performed on the field to prevent a problem that had happened in some of the earlier home games. We'll get to that in a second. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, broadcasting from the Seneca Studios here in Orchard Park, just steps away from Bills Stadium, where there will be a game at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Between the Bills and the Chiefs, two of the teams off to a better start in the AFC than most, although we still have some undefeated teams in this conference, namely the Tennessee Titans, who came back to win yesterday, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who who probably have the best combination of offense and defense going right
now.
They just flattened the Browns, who were never in the game.
Their ability to stop the run, rush the passer, is really all it takes right now in the NFL. Baker Mayfield had no chance to get settled in at quarterback yesterday. And I'm telling you, Browns could not run it on those guys either.
Nope.
They were stuffed. And that was a crusher for the Browns. And that game got out of hand, I think, quick. It looked like, you know, the Browns have got some talent. But they could not get anything done against the Pittsburgh defense. And that's saying something this year in the NFL. It really is. You can say what you want about the Miami Dolphins shutting out their opponent, but those just don't happen in the NFL, right?
It's the Jets.
Right.
We can say that.
Right. So it's hard to play good defense this year. It's hard, and the Steelers look to be the team that can really actually get it done.
They're playing both sides of the ball very, very well right now. And, you know, as we have talked about on this show several times, when you have a season like this where defenses are having trouble stopping anybody, and the Steelers' defense does not look all that changed from what it was last year when it was a top five unit, and you got Ben back and they're rolling up points, you know, like it's a Rolodex that you're just taking for a spin.
Yeah.
That's not the only team that they've won going away against this season. And the Browns, I think, thought, hey, you know what? It's finally time. Can we just get rid of the moniker? You know, Steelers fans call this the Who's Your Daddy game, because the Steelers have owned the Browns for the better part of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
It's the Who's Your Daddy game. I mean, that's what it is for Steelers fans.
Now.
And they did it again. Who's your daddy?
And it's changing across the league. We saw it. We talked about it for the first month of the season, how all these teams were lighting it up on the scoreboard. Now, yesterday, you've got the Panthers only scored 16. The Jaguars only scored 16. The Washington football team and the New York Giants scored 19 and 20, respectively.
Yeah.
The Patriots only scored 12. The Browns only scored 7. The Jets scored 0. The Packers with Aaron Rodgers scored 10. The Rams, who the Bills have seen, scored 16. And the Niners, in the winning effort, scored 24. So the scores are starting to come down.
Defenses are getting a handle
They're
on
starting
things.
To get a handle on it. And not for nothing, I hope it don't start in Buffalo tonight.
You want an entertaining game.
Yeah. I'd like the Bills to win, but you know, I want I don't want to wait till Monday at 5 p.m. after the scheduling scramble that scrambler that we've been through. You know, I want to see some. I want to see some
points. And that is the good news that came out this morning, because you know you have this game and then you have Arizona playing tonight. Who are they playing again?
Cowboys.
Cowboys. So you have Arizona and Dallas playing, and no positive tests for any of those four teams. So we're good to go for this evening with football, with this, you know, impromptu doubleheader of sorts.
Yeah.
And obviously all of our eyes are focused on this Bills-Chiefs matchup, which is a huge game in the AFC for early AFC seeding, I guess, for lack of a better term, because this – we know the conference record tiebreaker comes up. And I know, okay, Chris, it's week six. What are we talking about here? But this is your only crack to give yourself an edge over a Chiefs team that's probably going to be there at the end of the season.
It's starting to look like the division leaders are starting to look like the SEC. You get one loss and you're like, whoop, you're in trouble of not getting to the playoff, right? So you don't want to drop down to two losses. Certainly nobody's going to, you know, there's not going to be multiple teams going 16-0 and or you know, even 15-1. But that's what it's a horse race. The top five teams in the conference all have one loss or less. And the next three have two.
Right. And one of these two teams is going to have two losses after tonight.
That's right.
And slide back down even further with the Ravens leapfrogging whoever that is.
Right.
So the jockeying for position has already begun. Do you want to know what the most glaring thing is there? There's three AFC North teams in the top seven. Right now,
Well, they're gonna start cross pollinating
and
meeting
one,
each other, and we'll see.
One from the East.
Yeah,
there are more AFC South teams in the playoff picture here right now, if the season ended today, than the AFC East.
Looks like
I think people expected the Titans to be there. I know people were high on the Colts, and Phillip Rivers righted himself this week and had a monster game. He had 267 yards passing at halftime.
Yeah, they were down big.
I mean,
down big.
267 yards passing at halftime.
Did you watch that? Did you watch that? I thought, ooh.
I watched bits and parts of it. I was flipping back and forth between that.
Frank, keep him between the lines, bro. You got to get him. And he was. That game was really strange because Phillip Rivers came out, throws a pick six like right off the bat, right? Or it wasn't a pick six. It was an interception. They turned it over, and
Bengals.
The Bengals, you know, they came out and Joe Burrow did some things. He came out and started playing really well. But, man, oh, man, it looked bad.
He threw a pick, too.
It looked bad early for the Colts. And they got it righted. And Phillip Rivers made some throws that were unbelievable.
So we'll talk more about some of the games that were yesterday. But, obviously, the chief focus today, no pun intended. Look, I didn't even know. I wasn't even trying to do that.
Ba-dum-bum.
The main focus is your key to a Bills victory tonight against the Chiefs. So tell us what you believe that is. For me, Steve, it's player availability.
Yeah.
Tre'Davious White, Matt Milano, John Brown, all questionable for tonight's game. I'm not saying they absolutely have to have all three, but I feel a whole lot better about them winning this game if they do. And I'm genuinely concerned about John Brown. And the reason why was he was a full participant on Friday. And then on Saturday, he was limited. You know, he was a full participant on Friday, which was the most strenuous practice of the week. And then he comes back Saturday and he's limited in a gear down practice. So that concerns me a little bit. And then, of course, he's listed as questionable. So what happens there? I don't know. And Tre'Davious White, I mean, he's practiced all week, went from limited to full. So you're somewhat confident that he'll be able to go. But again, I mean, these guys are all up in the air. And, you know, understandably, with a game of this magnitude, coach has been kind of vague with this. And most coaches are. I mean, we don't have an issue with that. We understand where they're coming from. And Matt Milano, I think, some of us, knowing he was initially given a week-to-week designation by Coach McDermott when the injury first occurred coming out of the Raiders game, I think a lot of us were of the opinion he was going to probably miss a couple of games, maybe more.
Right.
And now he's questionable. He has a chance to play tonight. And so I just look at that and I say, Steve, John Brown, Matt Milano, Tre'Davious White, you can make the argument that they're three of the top seven or eight players on the entire roster.
Certainly they're on the defensive side of the football. You can make that argument.
I mean,
certainly not just
if you
maybe they're the best, they're the most important right?
Yeah.
You can throw Poyer and Hyde in there, too.
Josh.
But, and Josh, of course. But
Diggs.
Yeah, these are guys you need. And this is the thing. When you got a team with aspirations as high as the Bills do this season, it's a star-driven league. Guys become stars in the league because they do things nobody else does. They produce week to week to week to week. And the key to this game tonight is player availability. You need your guys out there when you're playing the defending world champion.
That's what I mean.
That is it.
And on top of that, too, it's a matchup league. I think we all know that this is a matchup league, especially with all the throwing that goes on now. And, man, if Milano's not playing and White's not playing, they don't have an answer outside of Jordan Poyer for Travis Kelce. And I don't know if you can ask Poyer to cover that guy the whole game. I don't know if that's – do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't – they like to mix and match. And if it's Poyer on Kelce the whole game, I think that gives the Chiefs an unfair read on things. And knowing how good Andy Reid is, he can scheme it up, you know, where if you're mixing and matching, you put Trey White on him for a little bit, you put Matt Milano on him for a little bit, it kind of keeps them a little off balance and makes the desire for – Patrick Mahomes to go to Kelce on a money down, maybe a little more hesitant. I don't know. Maybe not, but I just think if you have more bullets in the chamber to use against Kelce, who I think is a gigantic key for the Chiefs tonight.
Tight ends have squashed the Bills this year.
They've given up, I think, the second or the most.
They've given up the most.
The most receiving yards to tight ends this year. Now, obviously, Mike Gesicki had over 100 yards against them in week two. And then Jonnu Smith had a touchdown last week. He didn't kill them in terms of yardage.
Higbee from the Rams didn't play that. I mean,
he didn't do a whole lot either.
But
I'm trying to think of the other tight end.
Without Milano on there in the middle of the defense, it makes you more predictable in what you're willing to do to defend a guy like Kelce.
Oh, the Raiders tight end.
Right.
Waller went nuts on him.
It's the worst thing possible is to become predictable. Because then not only can they stop what you're trying to do, they can also take advantage of what you're trying to do by getting turnovers defensively or getting touchdowns offensively.
And we talked to Greg Cosell about some of these matchups last week. And not only that, how the Raiders defended the Chiefs, because they would line Travis Kelce up on the short side of the field by himself, and they'd run three wides on the other side to get some isolation stuff for him. And what the Raiders did to counter that is they would play man on Kelce and zone up the rest of the field on the wide side and play that way, and it worked. If you don't have Tre'Davious White, I don't know if you can do that. You know what
that's
I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't know if that's
that
an approach
correct.
You can take. You're more limited now in terms of what you can throw at them to counteract the matchup, you know, imbalance, so to speak.
Right.
That's why I would say of those three, I'm hoping White plays the most.
Right, because this is a track team, and White's the guy that can keep a lid on a defense, at least take one option away.
Right.
Now, the Chiefs are going to be without Sammy Watkins tonight.
That helps.
That's a plus for the Bills, no question about it. Sammy can go. We all know that here in Buffalo as well as any other team in the league outside the Chiefs. So that's a plus for the Bills. But we're right back to where we've said teams are with the Bills on their offense. If they've got all their guys on the field, you're stretched really thin in your ability to go man-to-man and make it work.
Yeah.
And because they've got more really good players than you have really good players to match up with them. And that's so that's a plus for the Bills, but it's only a plus if Tre'Davious is on the field.
Right.
And
so
even with Levi Wallace hampered like he has been, out of the game, you're still hampered. You know, you're still not 100%. So you got – yeah, player availability for both these clubs is the story tonight.
Yeah, the Chiefs will be without Watkins, as Steve mentioned. They will also be without their starting left guard, Kelechi Osemele, who tore tendons in his knee last week and is not ready to play. It'll be Mike Remmers. That is the general consensus as to who will fill in for him at left guard. A journeyman lineman that has played for a bunch of teams. I believe he even spent some time in Carolina. So this Coach McDermott probably knows him well and what can be used against him, hopefully. But if he's in there, he is probably your weak link because he is a backup. And Ed Oliver, go get him, man. Like,
right.
Take advantage of that dude and go make it happen. And it was interesting last week that Coach Frazier, in his weekly press conference with the media, was describing that Oliver, who had that knee injury and had been playing with the knee brace for the last few weeks, wasn't himself, but wasn't fully healthy, was kind of playing at about 70, 75%. And that's why he wasn't making quite the impact on games that people are hoping to get from him. So he is of the opinion, because Ed shed the knee brace last week, that they'll get more impactful play from Ed going forward. So I think that would be a welcome sign tonight in a matchup that would seem to favor him getting some chances to make some splash plays, as they call them. So hopefully that happens. And then just with respect to the keys to the game here, we need your keys. I mean, Steve and I kind of told you what we're most focused on, but what are your keys to victory for the Bills tonight? 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the number to get on board and let us know. Or you can hit us up on the tweet sheet, at One Bills Live, and let us know where you're coming from there. And I will start with Jack on the tweet sheet, which, as always, is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. Jack says, I work from home and work until 4:30, so I'm just going to make sure the beer is cold, the pretzels and dip are in the bowls, and the TV is turned on and synced with Murph and Steve. Then get ready to nervously pace around my living room and annoy my girlfriend and dogs with my ranting and raving. Okay, you do you.
Working till 4:30 is the thing, and we were joking about this last night about, you know, any self-respecting Buffalo business owner is going to say, like, hey, everybody, I know everybody wants to watch the game.
Yeah.
So we're going to get off work early or do this or half a day, whatever. And I think that's happening a lot. And a lot of people are saying, listen, I got to be home when the game starts.
We have a double tweet sheet today. I should have mentioned that. That's my fault. So obviously the first part is key to a Bills victory over the Chiefs. You can give us that at 803-0550 or on the tweet sheet. And we're also asking, how will you ensure that you don't miss kickoff? It's a 5 p.m. kickoff, which, you know, if you commute to work like we do, it might be a little tight getting home by kickoff.
Right.
So, you know, have you asked your boss, hey, can I slide out of here about 20 minutes early? You know, I think Buffalo, for the most part, is a 20-minute city. You can get just about anywhere, south towns to north towns in that amount of time. So where are you at on that? So let us know, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. As far as a key to a Bills victory over the Chiefs, from Max, defense, all caps, exclamation point. Come alive already. Make an appearance, Ed Oliver, who we were just talking about, coincidentally enough. I think Ed feels as healthy as he did since the start of the season. And so hopefully he can make an impact, because they're going to need some stuff happening up front. And there's some other parts of this game that I want to talk to you about on the offensive side too, Steve, for the Bills. But we do want to go to the phones and get those people involved as well. Open line for you at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. And we lead off today on the phone lines with Paul in Kenmore. Paul, thanks for joining us. What do you have?
Hey, thanks, guys. I just want to let you guys know, how excited I am. Just the fact that playing the Chiefs, and that we have, the opportunity to score with them. And for once in my 39 years that I've watched the Bills, well, let's say 35, because obviously I didn't watch them as a kid, but that we can score with these guys. That I don't fear that them scoring 28 on us is going to affect us. And I think that as much as I'd like the defense to play better, I think that our offense can compete with them, and it's just a great feeling to have. And whether we lose 42-35, 35-31, whatever it is, the fact that we can actually score with a team that won the Super Bowl, I love it. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, modern day offense.
It certainly is a different position than Bills fans have been in for a long, long time, no question about it. And it does feel good, because you feel like you've got a lot of engine under the hood. You know what I mean? You feel like, hey, if they want to shift gears, let's go. We got some more gears too. It's a lot of fun to be in a game like this and to think about it like this. And I don't want to change the subject, but it's something I talk about at the end of last year, after it was such a fun ride, after we realized that this, with this coaching staff and this front office, they've been to the playoffs two out of the last 3 years, and it was hard to say goodbye to that game last year in the Houston game, the playoff game. And
right.
I can't believe the season ended like that, and all that team last year, you got to kind of say goodbye to it. It was great. It was fun. But this team this year, even with a lot of the same guys, it is different. It is a completely different animal, and that's why you never know coming into the season. We talk about it constantly, and we project our own opinions about these other teams or whatever. Even this team, Brownie, we thought this was going to be a kind of a 50-50 split, offense, defense, real balanced attack, really yep. balanced team, you know. And then all of a sudden, this offense flexes, and they're like, yeah, bring the Chiefs on. We're going to score more than they do. We haven't been there.
Right. It's a modern-day NFL offense.
2020 is truly uncharted territory.
Well.
in every way, shape, and form.
There's a loaded sentence.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a modern-day offense that is throwing the ball 62.5% of the time, which, oh, by the way, is even more often than the Chiefs throw it. The Chiefs are a 60-40 team. The Bills are a 62.5, 37.5 team, pass to run. And that's another part of of what I want to bring up, Steve. I am wondering, and I'm trying to read between the lines of what Coach talked about this week, you know, coming out of that Tennessee game this past week, he was disappointed that the run game was not more effective against the seven-man boxes they were facing with the Titans playing as much cover two as they did. And I totally get it. And I'm thinking in a game like this against the Chiefs, where your defense has had a rough go of it in comparison to the previous 2 years, against a team that's 29th in run defense, do you lean on the run game a little bit more tonight in the hopes of maybe controlling the clock a little bit more, maybe giving Pat Mahomes a little bit less time with the football? Not that that always wins with Pat Mahomes, because he can throw it 60 yards and you have a two-play scoring drive. So I don't know if it's the end-all, be-all answer, but I'm wondering if a little bit more ball control at times, especially if the game is relatively even early, can help in – use your offense to kind of help your defense stop Patrick Mahomes, if you know what I'm saying.
I think when you put this game plan together, you look at the film and you think, why are these guys not playing run defense? What's their problem? What are they doing? Are they getting beat physically up front, or are they just not gap sound? And
you're talking about the Chiefs defense,
The Chiefs defense. That's what you're doing if you're Brian Daboll and his crew.
Is there an opportunity there?
Yeah, is there an opportunity there? Are they weak in run defense because, you know, they don't care if you run because they know their offense is going to take you out of that itself? There's probably a little bit of that, but I think also in everything that you do, you've got to be mindful that whatever you do, whether you run it or pass it predominantly, you've got to keep up on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
And so if they get a quick score on you, that's fine if it's just one. But you can't fall behind to this crew. Otherwise, then you're going to start leaning on turnovers and that kind of thing. But if you're confident that you can move the ball, run or pass, and finish off the drives and keep pace on the scoreboard, then, yeah, they'll keep the run game really involved, because I think they'll get some benefit from it in future weeks as well.
Right.
When they establish, say, hey, we're willing to do this, and we can do this, and we're going to do this. So there you – that'll be part of it.
And you have Zach Moss back.
Yeah.
You know, he was cleared on the injury report, good to go. So for the first time in 3 weeks, they'll have him back. And how much does that impact their thinking and – what to do with the game plan? Do you drift maybe a little more with the percentages towards the run, where maybe you are closer to 60-40 instead of 62.5 and 37.5? It doesn't sound like much, but it's probably 8 to 10 more carries in the game.
Yeah.
If they lean that way a little bit more. We're not saying dramatic change, but maybe just enough to kind of, you know, hang on to the ball a little bit more, stay on schedule down and distance-wise, milk some clock, less time for Patrick Mahomes with the football. I just wonder if they lean that way a little bit more, ever so slightly, especially getting Moss back and available for tonight's game.
Yeah, and you think about it as well. Moss has got 20 touches for the year, 20.
Yeah.
So they don't know anything about him yet. The Chiefs don't, and the Bills know just a hair more. So it's – Moss is a little bit of a wild card in this game. How they're going to use him, when they're going to use him, what's it look like when they do use him, what's he good at, what's he not good at. I don't think anybody knows yet, particularly on the Chiefs sideline, because I don't think the Bills have a big handle on where he's going to do it. I went back and watched him in the games that he was available, and I saw a marked difference from game to game in him in how he ran, in the emotion that he brought to it. His first game, he ran hard, he ran fast, but it looked to me in his body language and things I see from all my experience, he was running, he was thinking about things when he was running.
Okay.
And it less and less of that was occurring
in week two.
In week two. And, you know, so in every carry he had, and particularly in a week-to-week basis, he was a different guy.
Yeah.
And you could just tell the edginess with which he ran. He was much more confident. So, and I think there's, you know, there's he's going to take another 2 or 3 or 10 steps,
yeah,
you know, before he even really becomes his full self, I'm sure.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. We go to Anthony in Buffalo. Anthony, you're on One Bills Live. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, I'm still here. How you doing, sir?
Doing good. What do you have for us?
I'm a huge Bills fan. I love the Bills, and I was talking about the Bills all day long, and me and my staff was watching the Bills game
from Tuesday. Don't listen to the radio. Just talk to us.
We watched the Bills game, and Josh Allen messed up the whole thing, and Josh just. Throw the ball and he messed up the whole touchdown.
Anthony, turn your radio down.
I don't got the radio on.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Anthony, for the call. I don't think he messed up the whole game. He had 2 turnovers, yes. One was off a deflected pass, as we all know by now. Josh did not play a bad game. He didn't get a lot of help last week. I think that's fair to say. Just based on drop passes, defense not stopping anybody, mistakes, pre-snap penalties, miscues on special teams. It was a three-phase effort last week.
It was a systemic problem. Not knowing when the game was going to be played, not being able to get themselves mentally ready, completely out of their routine. Their emotion was flat coming into that game, and they were facing a team whose emotions were sky high. And you can say what you want about the preparation, the days, or whatever. Every team has great players. Every team has good players. Every team has players that would like to play better. They all match up, and the league is even in a lot of ways. It's very, very parity driven. So the difference between each team on any given week is only about 2 to 4% of the total of what they put into that game. But inside that 2 to 4% is all the emotional impact. Is when one team shows up flat and the other team shows up sky high, that is an exaggerated difference that manifests itself in a ton of ways that a team that's sky high takes advantage of. You had 4 drops in the first half. I think they're all in the first half by 4 different guys. And Josh ends up 27 of 41. It should have been 31 of 41 without those drops. And the game is different. Now, I'm not saying they win it. But I'll tell you this, they don't turn it over 3 times. They might, even if they turn it over twice, one of them led directly to a touchdown on the first and 10 on the 12.
And they don't lose by 26.
They don't lose by 26. And that changes, that ripple effect goes all the way down the line. Plus, if you start making plays against a team and you are efficient and you do that, you get into it. You do raise your level during the game. The Bills fought that flat start for 3.5 quarters.
Yeah. They were fighting themselves as much as they were fighting the Titans. And that's why those players said they beat themselves after the game, because in a lot of ways they did.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's true. So, you know, yes, Josh Allen's going to make a mistake now and again, and it's going to be more magnified because he's the guy with the hands on the ball every play. I get that. That comes with playing quarterback. But you can't hang the Tennessee loss on Josh Allen. So there's 47 guys who have a hand in that deal.
Right.
And coaches, too. The same thing.
803-0550 to join us. Aaron in Monterey out west, Mike in Orchard Park, and Mike in Corfu. You guys hang on. We will get to you when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio on a game day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live, game day edition. Bills Chiefs at 5 o'clock. Steve and I taking you up until 3 p.m. and then we'll actually be on for an encore performance.
We don't get
in the roundtable, pregame roundtable.
So we're going to wrap the 3 o'clock. Up. We're going to wrap the show up around 3 o'clock and then
dart across the parking lot.
Well, dart. I used to dart. I'll shimmy. Shimmy across.
I'll get
the
you on a cart. Right. Yeah, I'll pull you on
actually,
a cart, Steve.
We're gonna have yes with all the with as powerful as One Bills Live is. We're like gonna a commandeer a golf cart.
It'll be like a parade float. It'll be good. Just do the Queen's wave.
They'll think about it, Brownie. They can pick us up here at the fieldhouse and go across the parking lot, but we got to go over to gate one. We're going to have to get our temperature taken and all that stuff.
And whatever else. And
Sal's going to have to hold the fork down before we get there.
Yeah, we'll be fine, though.
We'll be all right.
803-0550.
All day.
888-550-2550 is the number. We got an open line for you there as we're asking you for the key to the Bills' victory. And we're also asking, hey, what are you doing to ensure you don't miss kickoff? And one person that's probably going to be in a little bit of a spot is Aaron in Monterey, California, because it's a 2 p.m. kickoff for you, Aaron. How are you managing this?
I'm just going to get off work early today and go watch the game at 2.
Oh, well, there you go. Just get out of work. Just leave.
Just get to leave. Are you self-employed, AWOL. Aaron, are you self-employed?
No, I actually work for a company.
Okay. Well, all right, what do you have for us? Why'd you call?
I called just to say how sweet it is to be getting national recognition for the first time in my entire lifetime.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit of a change. There's a whole generation of Bills fans that are just warming up to the fact that the Bills belong in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm 30. I've been living out west for a while. And, you know, so I was too young for the Super Bowl, but always hear it from the old people and stuff.
Right. I get you. There's you got to be, I think, what? You got to be like almost 35 or 40 to have been old enough to be a real fan, you know, and then have lived through the two decades of the early 2000s,
Probably closer to 40.
Right. Yeah. You got to almost be 40. So there's a whole range of fans. Now, Aaron, how old are you?
I'm 30.
So he missed it.
Yeah, you missed it.
Missed the window.
Bro.
So we're it's a little beach town out here. The owner of the surf shop is good friends with Josh Allen's dad.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
So he's a newfound Bills fan in California, always commenting on it, always talking about it. People see the bumper stickers on the truck, always yelling out Josh Allen because he's from here.
Yeah. There's a lot of quality Bills backers bars all over the country, and there's a ton of them in California.
How they're operating now, though, amidst COVID is a different story.
In L.A., and then I was actually looking around. There's one in Puerto Rico. I was at one in Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew there used to be one in San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's still one.
Been to that one.
Man, I've been there.
Just go all over the place.
We also went to one.
Thanks for the call,
didn't
Aaron.
Didn't we go to
the
one in Aiken, South Carolina when we were down?
We were down in Spartanburg for the joint practices with the Panthers, and then we drove a little ways, though. It wasn't in Spartanburg. It was north. I can't remember the town.
I think it was in Aiken, right?
Was it Aiken, South Carolina? I can't remember.
It seems like it. Well, I don't know, though. I'm guessing.
Jay came with us. Maybe he remembers.
Well, the owner of the bar gave us a nice letter. We'll go out there and check it out. I'll read it during the break and tell you where it was. But we went there during training camp.
Yeah. I can't remember for the life of me.
I can't.
I just remember hopping in.
But there's a bunch of them out there, and it's kind of fun to take in the game like that, although with the pandemic, you know, nothing's
indoors.
The same. Nothing's the same.
It's just different. Mike in Orchard Park, welcome to the show. What do you have for us, Mike?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How's everybody? All right?
Good. Yeah, we're
seems
doing
to be
all right.
Good.
Good. Tonight, I would just say about the game, I would not call this a must win, but I would certainly say that we must play well. Not only because of the quality of our opponent, but for our collective psyche as a team. I mean, to go out there and put together four solid quarters of football in every aspect of the game. Offense, defense, special teams, no penalty or not penalty free or minimum penalties, no dumb penalties anyway.
Right.
But just for us to go out there and put together a solid effort and play a quality opponent so that, you know, you look back and you know that after last week's debacle that we shook it off and we put it together and we got back in the driver's seat and we got this thing back on the right track. Because for me, you know, as a fan, I know the football players and the coach will always talk about being focused on the task at hand. But you glance in that rearview mirror and you see the way the Miami Dolphins are playing football. To me, they got fire shooting out of their tailpipe. That Fitz has got them playing at a level where they just like playing for this guy. And he's got them playing quality football, and he's letting it all hang out. And for me, there's nothing more dangerous than a football team that's playing with everything hanging out.
Got nothing to lose.
They're having fun, you know, and they're dangerous. And to me, they're a bigger threat right now than the Patriots.
Yeah, well, listen, you know what? You're right, Mike. You're right. They probably are this weekend anyway. But, you know, let's think about the Chiefs. And you can think about the Dolphins all you want, and they are. We're gonna get a chance at those guys again. But I think you're right. Your point about this game tonight for the Bills, it is about mistakes. The Bills, and call it a debacle, call it a stumble, call it, you know, an aberration, whatever you want to call last week's game against Tennessee. There were four drop passes. You turned it over three times.
10 penalties.
You had 10 penalties.
7 of which were pre-snap.
And they were all pre-snap. So all of that stuff was a team that was not – it was not the Buffalo Bills.
Lack of focus.
It was no Buffalo Bills team Sean McDermott's ever put on the field. You know what I mean? I mean, they just looked like somebody else emotionally and execution-wise and all that. They just didn't look sharp. And so I would think they're going to be a much better football team tonight. But that will look like no turnovers. It'll look like no penalties. It'll look like no drop passes. And you take all those three things off of that game last week, and they don't get beat by 25. They might have got beat, because that's a pretty good team in Tennessee.
Yeah.
But they don't get beat by 25. So you're right, Mike. I think you're right. It starts – tonight's game doesn't start with the Chiefs if you're the Bills. It starts with the Bills. They got to play like they can play. And let the chips fall where they may.
It's not a must-win game, but it's a must-perform game.
Yeah.
Because if you don't perform up to the level of capability that you've demonstrated you're able to play at through the first 4 weeks, then explaining away the week 5 performance as an anomaly or just a clunker becomes more difficult, even if you are playing a team the caliber of the Chiefs. Because if you come out tonight and you have some of the same lack of focus, mental errors, and again, you contribute to beating yourselves, then it's going to be a lot harder to explain away
right.
the stinker you played against the Titans. You have to perform tonight to show, hey, we are a 4-1 team for a reason, because we can hang with the defending Super Bowl champions.
Right.
It's a must-perform game if it's not a must-win game.
And that, you know, we all know what that looks like. That means it's got to be close very late. You know, it's got to be one of those, you know, down-to-the-wire games.
And this
and I don't
this
care
could be one of those games where it's who's got the ball last.
Right. And I
much
care
like the Rams game.
I don't care if it's 50-49 or 10-9. It's got to be close at the end. And that's when you know you can play with whatever, you know, teams can be dished up. And I've been saying this to people around, you know, like you. Everybody come across and say, hey, what do you think? Are these and my take on this team, this Bills team, is kind of the same take that I would have on about the Chiefs. Both of these teams, they're going to line up and play everybody, and they're going to be a handful. They're going to be a handful for everybody because of these two offenses and these two quarterbacks. So both these teams know they're in a tussle tonight. And you just want to see both teams show up and play their best, and then, you know, let's just see how that comes out. I mean, that's where you want to do. You want to measure up.
Let's go to Mike in Corfu. Mike, you're on One Bills Live. Thanks for joining us. What do you have for us?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah, it's good. My keys to the game tonight are special teams. We're going to need a big contribution from these folks. It would be nice to win the turnover ratio. Or
right.
at least be balanced out where we have the same turnovers or the same zero turnovers. But I think Josh has to threaten with his feet. He's got to be – the defense has to respect that Josh running – Josh Allen can run. And I don't like it when he runs, but he's effective when he runs. But the two big keys to me, they have to run the ball, which they haven't done in any game. It seems like the pass is opening up the run, and when they pass and they go three and out or they're unsuccessful, they rely on the run. It's forecasted that they're going to run, and they can't run. So maybe it's offensive line play for the run, and the key to the defense, you got to stop the run, get them off the field, and those are my keys. I'll sit back and hear what you guys say.
Yeah, I would say this. I agree with you on the turnover thing. I mean, that's obvious. That's every week, but maybe this week more than any other, because you cannot give Patrick Mahomes in that offense extra possessions. You're asking just to take an arrow straight through your heart if you give them two or three extra possessions. It's just like, just stand there and just take the thing right to the heart.
You're playing in traffic.
Yeah, it's just not a good idea. So that's first. Second, I agree with you on the run point, but I think I think what we're looking for here is just enough running to keep the Chiefs honest and to at least have in their head the threat that, you know, it's second and four, second and five, you know, these guys aren't going to throw it all over the yard. There could be a run here. Do you know what I mean? Like, from a play calling perspective, you're 62.5% pass on the year. It's almost as if they've drifted maybe ever so slightly too far over to the passing game. And believe me, I understand why. Josh has been lighting it up. It's hard to argue with what he has done predominantly through the course of this season. I'm not going to argue with it at all. He's been fantastic. But there is a danger sometimes where you get away from being balanced to the point where you become too predictable. And I'm not going to claim to be an analytics guy at all and be able to crunch these numbers to define what predictable is. But I think they have to run the ball a little bit better, a little bit more effectively, and maybe a little bit more often to at least keep the Chiefs guessing ever so slightly as to what could be coming.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to restate what you just said, but that's exactly right. You've got to run it well enough so they got to think about it.
Yeah.
Because right
just
now
– put it in their head.
Yeah, I don't think the defense of the Chiefs is thinking, man, okay, we got to start by stopping the
run.
We
know what the Bills' offensive identity is.
So I that's where I'm at as well. Just run it effectively so that the Chiefs have got to say, well, you know what? They may run this here, and they're pretty – we got to, you know.
Yeah.
You've got to either – you got to get them thinking about it. And right now I don't think it's even a consideration for any of the teams that the Bills have played. They have not had to consider it. Now, they've done a nice job against – I'm not saying they were totally, you know, backing out of there, but they were not threatened by the Bills' run game.
Yeah. 803-0550, line open for you there. Folks on hold, we'll get to you in the next segment. Hang tight. We have to take a break, but back in a moment with more of your phone calls and comments on keys to the game tonight. And we'll also take, how are you ensuring you're not going to miss a 5 o'clock kickoff if you have a job like the rest of us? 803-0550 or at One Bills Live on the tweet sheet. Back in a sec here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. With you, and right back to the phones we go, and we lead off with Dave in Michigan. Dave, you're on One Bills Live. What do you have for us, sir?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm kind of echoing what a lot of other people have been saying. I'm been a fan of this team for so long. I go into this game. Sure, I'd like to be talking about an upset tomorrow or a big win tomorrow, but honestly, there is such a thing as a good loss in relation to do they belong? And I think they can show they belong, win or lose, tonight in the conversation with the elite teams. And that's what I'm looking for. Last week was what it was, but Steve, I think about that 90s team, and I'm showing my age, but I've been a fan for a long time. That 90s team, in my mind, was the best Bills team of all the four Super Bowl teams. And I remember you guys getting blown out at home by Miami, like game two of that year, and bounced back and went to the Super Bowl. So one game does not, dictate a season. And I think it's just how we lose or a win tonight is important.
Yeah, I think I got a lot of faith in the culture and the program and the institution and whatever you want to call it that they've implanted here in Buffalo with Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, the coaching staff and the players and the veteran players and the key players that are here with Kim and Terry Pegula as well, and the investments they've made and the culture they've created and cultivated. I've got a lot of faith in that it's real, that it's tangible, that the professionalism and the level and the bar on a weekly and daily basis has been raised to such a level that you have a right to expect that this is a team that is going to show up. Now, certainly due to, and I've said this before, that game last week was not normal for the Bills. And it wasn't even normal for the Titans. And the outcome of that game and the way it looked reflected that. So I think you're going to get much more of a Bills team that we have seen over the last 18 months than you are the team that we saw last week. This is a team that's going to show up and play well. They're going to do some things. And I got news for you. You're right. You want to see your team play really well against really good football teams and occasionally beat them. This team, in my opinion, that bar is way higher than that. And I think Bills fans have been conditioned a little bit to be really happy when their team is respected around the league. The Bills players and coaches are at a point now where their bar is a little higher than that. They want teams to know they've got to bring it or they're going to get beat and beat bad. They want those teams to think, man, this is a team that can beat us if they play well. And that's where the bar is for the guys in the locker room and the coaching staff. So I think that's where they are. And I think that's where I have confidence they're going to be tonight. That doesn't mean they're going to win because they're playing against a team that's the world champions.
Yeah.
But every team in the league, there's been one team in the history of the league that didn't take a bad loss in a season.
Yeah.
Everybody else takes it on the chin once, maybe usually more than once. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a bad game last week, and they looked bad doing it. But the Bills looked bad. Not because of the Tennessee Titans, but because of the situation of what they were in, where they came out flat and they just didn't play well.
Yeah,
they just didn't play well. They're too good, and their culture is such that you would expect, and have a right to expect, that that's not going to happen 2 weeks in a row.
Bounce back performance.
They're not going to happen. That's not going to happen 2 weeks in a row. I don't mean they're going to win this game going away, but I have every reason to believe they're going to play and play well against a very good football team
and be in it, and be in it,
and be in it.
Yeah. 803-0550. John in Tonawanda is next. John, you're on One Bills Live. What do you have for us? John, are you with us, sir?
Oh, yeah, here I am. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. What do you got for us?
Hall of Fame is coming soon to you, buddy. I just wanted to say that.
What did you say?
Hall of Fame is coming soon to you, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead, John. What else you got? John? You better turn your radio or your TV down.
I think we have to have the running game going really good tonight with Zach and Devin, because if we can keep Mahomes off the field, That's the key to winning this game. You know, because it's obvious if he's out there with all those weapons, he's going to score. You know, no matter how good our deep plays, you can't just hold them down. So I think we have to have our running game going, get 150, 170 yards between the two guys. And I think that'll work for us. You know, we'll have a winner.
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying, and you want to shorten the game, make everybody, instead of having like 12 or 14 or probably 14 to 16 possessions during the game, you want them to have like 8 or 10 possessions during the game. My point would be more like this. Whatever happens, don't give them a free possession with a fumble or whatever. And on all your possessions, you got to end it with points, hopefully touchdowns, at least field goals. You got to score every possession you get it, and try and get them to skip one. And then you got a chance.
Yeah.
No matter how many possessions there end up being.
He's kind of in the same boat as me, though. Maybe use the run game just enough to kind of run some clock, you know, keep that other defense on the field so that Patrick Mahomes is not on the field. Because I think there's a healthy respect, clearly from the callers we've heard from already, there's a healthy respect for what he and that offense is capable of doing. I mean, the guy's 2 years removed from an MVP, 1 year removed from a Super Bowl MVP. I mean, the guy's the real deal. Even in games where people think he did not play well, for example, last week, he still scores 32 points. He helps his offense score 32 points. So they're going to get theirs. They're good enough to get theirs, no matter how good you are. So if you can keep him off the field and he's got fewer plays to run, all the better as I see it. All right, we have to take a break, but when we come back, in just about 5 minutes' time, we'll be joined by Chiefs Radio Network analyst Danon Hughes, former wide receiver for the Chiefs in the mid to late 90s. He'll be joining us next to give us the lowdown on what is going on with the KC team as they are now in town and ready to play the Bills in about 4 hours' time. That's when kickoff is happening. He's coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.